Podcasting from behind her locked bathroom door, the only quiet place in the house, this is the Homeschool Sanity Show, a twice-monthly podcast with expert advice for happier, healthier homeschool living. And now, here's your host, Christian psychologist and homeschool mom of six, Dr. Melanie Wilson.
Welcome to this episode of the Homeschool Sanity Show. Today we're going to be talking about overcoming insecurity, and I am very excited to introduce you to one of my very dear friends, Deb Wolf. Deb is a class-trained speaker and writer who serves in ministry with her husband and best friend, Blake, in St. Louis, Missouri. She is a self-described blogging fanatic, writing 7 or more posts a week for various sites. Counting My Blessings is her personal blog where she shares her thoughts on faith, family, and friendships. She is also managing editor at 5 Minutes for Faith, a devotional page at 5 Minutes for Mom. She shares tips and ideas for decorating on a budget at Home Goods. Her first book, Sarah's Garden, was published in 2008 and was just released in Kindle format. It encourages girls of all ages to flourish in their God-given personalities, gifts, and abilities. As if that weren't enough, she and Blake founded Prayer Ministries International in 1999, an internet prayer ministry with more than 150 prayers throughout the world. Visit Pray For You, which is the number 4, PrayForYou.com, to leave prayer requests and learn more about this ministry. Well, Deb, I've given a pretty good introduction of you so far, but please tell us a little bit more about you and your family.
Well, Blake and I have been married for a long time. We've been in ministry for decades. And we have, we've raised 3 children, we have grandchildren, and each one very, very different from the next, different personalities, and lots of fun, lots of joys, and a few challenges along the way.
Of course. Well, one of the things that I mentioned in your introduction is that you have written a book, Sarah's Garden, which, among many things, I think it touches on a lot of issues, but one of them is insecurity, and that's what we're going to talk more about today.
Sure.
But can you tell me a little bit more about why you wrote the book and why you think it speaks to so many of us as homeschooling moms and also as a way of connecting, especially probably with our daughters?
Absolutely. I actually wrote it in 2008 because I'd given a talk on the topic at a women's retreat. And my mom had died that year, and her name was Sarah. And so I just ended up deciding that it was time to put some things down and get this thing written. Especially after the retreat, the gals were saying, you need to put this in book format. So that's where I got started with it. As far as it just being about insecurities, it was just how we flourish, how we can ourselves and teach our daughters how to flourish in our personalities rather than just kind of... Well, I like to call it wallowing around in the mud.
All right, very good. Do you think insecurity is a bigger problem now than it was when you were a teen and a young mom?
I'm better, but I think overall, in general, I think insecurity is still a terrible, terrible problem for women of every age. Mm-hmm. I think that the biggest problem comes from the fact that we spend a lot of time comparing ourselves to each other. One of my favorite things to say, not because I like it, but because it's true, is that women are just too hard on each other. We're very hard in comparing and critical of one another. And I think it comes from our own insecurities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I definitely agree. It's a problem. I see it a problem in the homeschooling community too, because we are taking on as homeschoolers a real challenge. You know, it's very challenging to kind of do the opposite of what everyone else is doing in the culture, and
Absolutely.
To feel, yeah, you know, to feel like you're smart enough, that you have what it takes to educate your children, and you know, different challenges come along and you start to question yourself. So I think it's such a great topic for us to address.
I think moms have a challenge anyhow, because sometimes we compare ourselves by comparing our children. And so for the homeschooling mom, mm-hmm. that's going to be additionally difficult because we're comparing how well our children are doing in school and we're the teacher.
Right, right. And then we could talk about, you know, when our children are doing things wrong. And,
and yes, absolutely.
That goes in a whole other direction.
Right.
Well, in the book, what insecurities does Sarah have?
Again, most of it, well, it's called Sarah's Garden. And so Sarah is given these seeds to, but gifted by God, mm-hmm. and it's to have a beautiful garden. But she doesn't know anything about gardening, and her family doesn't really know how to take care of her personal garden because she's very unique and an individual. And so her insecurities come from not being able to feel like she's doing well enough in her own garden, and then she looks around and she is worried that other people have better gardens than she has, or she doesn't even maybe get to see their real garden. She only sees the one or two flowers that they carry around, but because that one or two in their hands looks better than what she thinks she has, then she feels bad about what her garden looks like. So, and I think that's so true of all of us. I think it's Lisa Turkhurst that has the saying that says, don't compare the outside of someone else to the inside of you. And I think it's just so true. And that might be somebody else. I think hers is, God didn't equip you to handle somebody else's good and bad. We always want to challenge their good or compare ourselves to their good, not the bad that mm-hmm. they're having to deal mm-hmm. with.
Yeah. That is so true. What kinds of insecurities have you struggled with over the years? The ones that you're willing to to talk
wow.
with us about?
You know, I think lots of them. I think one of the things that I wish wasn't true, but it continues years and years, is appearance. You know, appearance has always been a mm-hmm. challenge. And I happened to be one of the tallest girls in my class. I also, although never heavy, was not stick skinny like many of the girls mm-hmm. are when they're teenagers. And so some of the nicknames I was given represented that, and I carried that. I've definitely carried that through. And probably the other insecurity is mom. It's just hard. Mm-hmm. You know, it's we have in our minds how we want our kids to behave in every situation, and they're just unique little individuals. They don't always do that.
Right.
So it makes it. I think those are probably two areas that I'm willing to talk about.
Okay. One of the things I didn't mention in your mm-hmm. introduction is that you were a teacher at one time as well, right?
Yes, absolutely. I taught second and third grade for a number of years, and then I taught kindergarten also. So, yes.
Did you have any insecurities as a teacher, especially starting out?
You know, I probably handled each of the challenges just as they came up. I think I had more confidence in those years, maybe, than I did with my own. You know, I always would think of that. I wish I'd had, in fact, any of your listeners, if they've ever taught in the classroom too, mm-hmm. or even just with their own children, and if you bring in your co-ops or whatever, you find that you have much more patience with someone else's children than you do with your own. And so I think that probably played into it when I was in the classroom.
Yeah, you know, I can really relate to that because I was much more confident about my ability to teach other people how to parent when I had no children.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Right. That's absolutely true.
Yes, that is the truth. All right. Well, what does Sarah do to cope with her insecurities that doesn't work?
Oh, she tries a lot of things. She tries reading all the self-help books. She tries buying all the right fertilizers. She tries doing all kinds of things to make her garden beautiful. And of course, she can't do it on her own. And I think that that's one of the reasons why I find insecurity so hard for us as women, is because we want to find that self-help book that's going to have the answer for mm-hmm. us. And chances are we're not going to be able to make those changes ourselves as well as we would like to. We really do need the Lord's help in that area.
Mm-hmm. And then what about you? What kinds of things have you tried in your life to overcome insecurity that just haven't worked?
Yeah, well, lots of self-help books. Maybe that's why Sarah had the same problem.
Yes, I can relate.
Lots of self-help books. Mm-hmm. Lots, prayer. I think the thing that's made the most difference for me in recent years mm-hmm. of being okay and kind of getting over my insecurities was praying and just really asking the Lord to help me in those areas and to strengthen me and to, you know, one of the biggest prayers is just help me see me as you see me mm-hmm. rather than the person I see in the mirror or the replaying of the failures that we all like to do so much. We love mm-hmm. to replay our things that we feel insecure about in our minds.
Right. You know, for homeschoolers, I see a lot of times homeschoolers who are particularly insecure about teaching their children will a lot of times get on a track where they want to know what everyone else is using for curriculum mm-hmm. that they love, that's really working well, and then they just want to buy it and think that that's going to, you know, give them that confidence.
That's going to be the answer.
Right, yeah. And give them the security, and it just ends up costing them a lot of money.
Right, exactly, sure.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that we don't realize, and I know I did it definitely as a mom, is that our kids are watching us so carefully. And so one of the ones, and it's an insecurity that I had, kind of stemming back from being so tall and all of that, is that weight has always been an issue for me. And I don't ever remember putting it on my children, but just in watching me, I know especially for one of our daughters, it has become a huge issue. It's something that she struggles with, and she's very, very thin, but she still struggles with that image because it's just from watching.
Absolutely. And it's at the same time, we don't want to become paranoid.
Right. You're absolutely right. Yes, yeah. You're absolutely right. We just have to live and ask for grace.
Yes, because, that becomes then the source of more insecurity.
Exactly. You are right. You're absolutely right.
My imperfections are going to rub off on my child, and she's going to be insecure. And that really leads us to my next question is, what finally leads Sarah to the solution to her insecurity, and then what has finally worked for you and can work for all of us?
I think the thing that really, it helps Sarah, and I think that it helped me too, is getting, not only through prayer and all of that, but getting godly counsel. You know, Sarah goes to someone who really is not insecure, you know, really has it the answer. And she goes to that person, and that's why I love mentoring programs or, you know, just different things where we work together. And where, you know, in your homeschooling settings, if you've got your co-ops, you know, you have multiple moms involved then that can help with, because sometimes our daughters will talk to another mom more easily than they'll even talk to us. And so I think godly mentors are so important. And I think that's what really helped Sarah, because this person said, well, I didn't do it. You know, the mm-hmm. person that Sarah goes to says, I didn't fix my garden. It was no self-help book. I didn't do it myself, but I know the one that can help you. Mm-hmm. And that's really, I think, how we can guide our daughters and help each other, is to just say, sometimes we have to be willing to say, I don't have the answer, mm-hmm. but I know the one who does.
Mm-hmm. That is such great advice and such a great encouragement. And I have seen, having been homeschooling for 14 years now, that the homeschoolers who seem most at peace, the most secure, are those who have been doing it for a long time. And they are incredible mentors to women who are just starting that journey and are struggling with that insecurity. You know, I've seen newer homeschoolers share their homeschool schedule and what they expect to get done online with other people and asking for feedback. And the mature homeschoolers will say, that's crazy. You know, there isn't a person on the planet who can do all the things that you're trying to do.
Exactly.
It's just not sustainable. And then even things like parenting, I know I had a lot of insecurity. I wasn't even aware that I was insecure when I started homeschooling, but I realized that here I was, a psychologist who was homeschooling, and people had, in my mind, all these expectations of how my kids were going to turn out.
Sure.
And then when my kids were not behaving the way I thought they should be, it created a lot of anxiety in me because I thought, well, everyone's going to say, well, you know, what is wrong with you?
Right, absolutely. And a reflection, you feel like it's a reflection on you.
Right.
I think one of the things that helped me is a couple of mentors that I've had over the years that when my children were just, I mean, things were, you know, there were moments when it was a mess. I mean, I think we're all there. We have messy moments in families. And, you know, they could just come up and give me a hug and say, been there, you know, been there. And we survived. And my children are now, some of them maybe might be in their 30s or their 40s, and they're good, you know. So this is a moment in time. I remember when our children were probably newborns, and I was taking class things to learn, and someone that saying, this too shall pass. And it's one of my favorites, no matter what stage of life you're in, because it's a given. This too will pass. And so not to allow ourselves to let it build up too much.
It's so good. And you need that constant reassurance too, don't you?
Oh, don't you? Yeah. And it's for some reason, it's even better from someone who's been there. You know, if they can say, oh, yeah, yeah, you should have seen what we went through. Or, you know, I can make you feel better.
That is very good too. That is very good too. Pastors' wives can have their own insecurities.
Oh my.
And you are a pastor's wife.
Yes.
And I know that recently you have been talking with other pastors' wives, and there is something that you would like to do to be a mentor for them. Can you tell us about that?
We just started. It's called Sisters in Ministry. It's a Facebook group, and I would be happy to have other pastors' wives join if they are interested in it. But yes, it's pastors' wives of all ages and different stages in ministry, because some of their husbands were second career. And so even some of the older in age pastors' wives haven't been pastors' wives for that long. Mm. And it's just been a great place and a great way for us to kind of encourage one another. I'm discouraged with this, or my husband's discouraged. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, it isn't anything more than just saying, we have walked in your shoes and we understand. I mean, that's most of it, is we feel like we have to put a certain image out there for our congregations. And that's a challenge. And so it's been nice to have this group that's just kind of there. And we do a lot more listening than advising, but we all need, as pastors' wives especially, we need someone to listen to us and care.
That is so true. And I will just add to that. I mean, first of all, I know that there are many homeschoolers who do have a ministry family.
Sure.
And so I'm sure many of them will appreciate hearing that this is an opportunity for them to connect. But even if that's not the case, I think it's so true of homeschoolers too. Homeschoolers have to be in community with one another. And I do appreciate the fact that some of us are spread out all over the country. We live in more remote areas. Mm-hmm. And so the internet becomes a way for us to connect.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that can be a very real source of support. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that if you're only going to connect with a group of like 150 people on like a Facebook group, for example, that's probably not going to provide you with enough of that real ministry, that real mentoring, like what you said, where someone comes up and gives you a hug and says, been there and done that. So it's really important that you find a small enough group to connect to, that you can be real and open about what's happening with you.
Exactly. That's very, very true. And just looking for those small groups of other women. And women you can trust, you know, women that you feel like you can just really pour your heart out to, and that they will keep your confidence. They will keep, you know, they care about you. And that's important. We need that. By God's grace, that helps our, that helps remove our insecurities.
In thinking, Deb, about helping our daughters not to live with insecurity and just really stay stuck in it. I mean, insecurity is inevitable,
it
right?
Is. Absolutely.
We're
absolutely
not going to be free of it, but we don't have to live in it and just get stuck there. What do you see as the different stages? Because now you have a grown daughter that I know you are very close to, and you spend a lot of time talking with her. How has your just relating to her changed in terms of how she's grown, how you help her to just overcome insecurity, for lack of a better term?
Really just being her best cheerleader, okay. Encouraging and listening. I try, especially at this point in her life, to do more listening than I do talking. Mm-hmm. Your listeners can probably tell I love to talk. So talking has never been a problem for me, but listening is real important, to just let her pour her heart out when she needs to, and to say, you know what, you're going to be okay, and this is good. She's a young mom herself, and just saying, yeah, sure, you know, what you're going through is real normal, and you know, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay to have that happen. As far as the other insecurities that our daughters just go through in general, I think probably the biggest thing we struggle with in this nation, besides comparing ourselves to our peers, is comparing ourselves to the rich and famous and celebrities. And I think trying to limit that to a certain extent can be helpful for our daughters too, and trying not to get stars in our eyes ourselves, and make too much of that ourselves for our own well-being and our daughters' well-beings.
And you know, you and I were visiting earlier about judgment, how we can tend to just really pass judgment on other people without necessarily vocalizing it, but even just in our own minds, just thinking negative things. And as a blogger, I've noticed that, and you probably have too, where bloggers are willing to be very personal and share a lot, but only to a certain point. Because we know that if we get really real,
absolutely,
that we will be attacked and it will be used against us. And I really believe as homeschoolers that we feel the same way. You know, if I'm afraid, I can tell you that my kids were driving me nuts yesterday, and that's fine, you know, because we can almost all say that. And
sure.
Really, if you can't say that, we don't even really want to talk to you.
You're absolutely right. You're right.
Right. But
you're not going to give me the details.
No.
Right.
No, I'm not going to tell you what I did that helped create that situation, because then you might say, well, what are you doing that for?
Right.
You know, that wasn't right. And so I think, you know, maybe if you're listening to this and you feel like, well, I'm really pretty secure, you can help other people feel secure by, you know, just telling them it's okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because most of us, I mean, you know, every mom has a day when she wishes she'd kept her cool a little bit better. And we've all been at a place where we've had to say, I'm sorry to, other people in our lives, whether it's our kids or someone else. And so I think that just knowing that helps.
Yeah. And it really isn't helpful to be a parent who is perfect.
No.
That does not equip your children for life.
Right.
You know, if you do it all perfectly and they never get to see you fail and deal with that failure in an appropriate way, like you were saying, apologizing or coping with the consequences of whatever it is that you've done, then they're just ill-equipped.
Exactly.
To survive.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's another thing I think that we can really think about, that It's a good thing. You know, why did God include the accounts of so many people in the Bible who failed? You know, I mean, you have Job, who was a great guy, but I mean, even he kind of caves at the end, right?
Exactly.
He's like, I can't take it anymore.
Right.
So, I mean, God did that for a purpose.
Absolutely.
So that we would know we're normal. We're human. It's expected. He remembers that we are dust. And we can be that kind of example.
Well, I agree with you. And a thought that came to me while you were saying that is, You know, I think as we ask our kids at the end of the day, how are you doing today? Or as we're sitting around the dinner table, you know, tell me about how you're doing today. I think an important thing that we can do as parents is encourage our children to ask us. Mm-hmm. Children rarely ask their parents how they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, you know, and maybe there's a moment to say, you know what, I struggled today. Mm-hmm. This was a hard day and this is why. And, you know, shall we talk about it? Mm-hmm. That might not work if your child's three, mm-hmm. but it might be very helpful if your child's 13.
Mm-hmm. Very, very true. One of the most destructive things that people can do in families, and I say this all the time when people ask, you know, what thing did I do that, you know, caused the problem with my child? And it may be nothing. Right. But the most destructive thing that you can do as a parent is to live in denial. So if things are going bad, if your marriage is just really, really yes. struggling, pretending like your husband is the best daddy in the world and everything's just perfect can be very destructive to kids. So overcoming insecurity doesn't mean lying about
exactly.
you know, what's going
exactly.
on.
Exactly. In fact, probably the contrary. It's mm-hmm. more about facing what's going on and admitting that we have our weaknesses and our struggles and our insecurities, and pointing our children and ourselves to the Lord, who is more than able to help us with
mm-hmm,
them.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's exactly it. You know, we can point our children, the people that we're mentoring, mm-hmm. to the perfect God. We aren't the perfect example.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that's the biggest thing we want to stress, because as we try, the harder we try to be the perfect example, the more our insecurities are going to drive us crazy. But if we can surrender those and really just point to the Lord and say, you know, I will tell you that I always laugh because I say, God, through my weakness, because I would never have imagined myself writing anything ever based on my English grades in school. So, most of my English teachers thought that my writing was kind of trite and grammar was never my favorite subject. So now the fact that the Lord is allowing me to use something that I'm very insecure about, but he's allowing me to spend my life using it, is just such a joy for me. And it's all him. It's all him.
Mm, that's so great. And I mean, applying that to homeschooling, you know, I have a friend who has homeschooled three of her children now to adulthood, mm-hmm. and her fourth one is in high school. And, you know, she feels the same way, that she didn't have a good education, and yet she is doing a fantastic job of homeschooling her children.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think so much of it has to do with humility, because mm-hmm. she isn't arrogant at all
right.
about homeschooling. And she says all the time, you know, it's by the grace of God that my children are all doing well as adults. So, you know, we could be even thankful for those areas where we feel insecure, because what does the Bible say? You know, where we are weak, then he is strong.
He shows himself strong. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Well, Deb, you have made Sarah's Garden, which is on Amazon's Kindle, free on December 3rd and 4th,
yes.
which is fantastic. So you can go and download that book to your Kindle. If you don't have a Kindle, you can read that on many different devices using
yes.
the free apps from
Absolutely.
Amazon, even
yes.
just on your computer.
Right, absolutely.
Which is wonderful. And go ahead and do that right away so you make sure you get a copy of it. But it will, of course, still be available. It's available in print copy as well.
It is available in print copy. And one of the things I'd like to say about
yeah.
it is the artist for my book was a 12-year-old girl at the time. And the artwork, I just love the artwork in it. And so if you have any daughters who are budding artists, Rebecca's artwork is just an inspiration.
It really is. It's incredible. She is a true talent,
I tell you.
And it's just, it's a beautiful story. I've shared it with my daughter, and I just love it. I mean,
it is
a fairy tale that really speaks to girls of all ages. And that's what I wrote about it in my review. And it's absolutely true. You
thank
will
you.
Not regret reading it and encouraging your friends and family to get it. And you make any proceeds from the book available for what purpose?
Any proceeds from the book go to World Vision for the most part. That's our, we have several sponsored children and we're very, very involved in that ministry. I'm a child ambassador, so that proceeds all go to World Vision.
Well, that's fantastic. So it's available in paperback version also, so it would make a great Christmas gift if
Absolutely.
You're listening to this in December. So you have also written a guest post for Psycho with Six, which listeners can find by clicking the podcast link at the top of psychowith6.com. But where else can listeners find you on the web?
Oh my goodness. listeners can find me on the web at countingmyblessings.com. And Home Goods, if you go to the homegoods.com website and click on the word blog at the top, you'll find me as one of the contributing writers there. And you can also find me at 5 Minutes for Faith through 5 Minutes for Mom.
Well, I'm going to make it easier on everybody to find all of those links by adding them to the show notes at ultimateradioshow.com. If you click on the Homeschool Sanity Show and then the Overcoming Insecurity episode with Deb Wolf, you will have direct links to all these great resources, including Sarah's Garden. Deb, it has been a delight, as always, talking with you.
Love gabbing with you.
That's great. And aren't you glad I didn't make you sit in my bathroom for this episode? Although,
in your lovely dining room, this is perfect.
We are in my dining room. We've had people coming in and out of the room. So forgive us for that. But it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Mel. It's been my pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us for the Homeschool Sanity Show with Dr. Melanie Wilson. Visit Melanie at psychowith6.com, that's the number 6, for more sanity-saving ideas. The Homeschool Sanity Show is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.